and welcome to the D&D Scrap Dub Scrap Podcast. This is basically my Ron Paul update. We hadn't done a podcast for 2 weeks because I've been home. I've been busy working on the farm, working on the land, working on helping my mom move, a whole bunch of stuff. Long story short, my grandparents passed away. My grandfather passed away in 2016. My grandfather passed away 1 year later. And my family's been trying to get the affairs in order. The house, but there's two other people wanting to buy, including one of my uncles. So, we had a bid war, and so now I'm home, and the hill. Anyway, so I'm heading to Kansas City to finish helping with that. And I haven't been doing the update in a while. 2 weeks. I've actually been off for a little over a week. This is my second week, technically. So I start my new job next week, so I'll be back to work next week. Anyway, so I'm doing a Ron Paul update because I should have did that last week at least, but I didn't even do that. So here we go. Give me a minute to look up the phone number.
This. Sadly, but not unexpectedly, the mass shooting at the Temple Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh is being used to justify new infringements on liberty. Of course, opponents of gun rights are claiming this shooting proves America needs more gun control. Even some who normally oppose gun control say the government needs to do more to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Those making this argument ignore the lack of evidence that background checks, new restrictions on the rights of those alleged to have a mental illness, or any other form of gun control would have prevented the shooter from obtaining a firearm. Others are using the shooter's history of posting anti-Semitic comments on social media to call for increased efforts by both government and social media websites to suppress hate speech. The shooter posted anti-Semitic statements on the social media site called Gab. Gab, unlike Twitter and Facebook, does not block or ban users for offensive comments. After the shooting, Gab was suspended by its internet service provider, and PayPal has closed the site's account. This is an effort to make the social media websites responsible for the content and even the actions of their users, turning the site's operators into thought police. Some social media sites, particularly Facebook and Twitter, are eager to silence not just bigots, but those using their platforms to advocate for liberty. Facebook has recently banned a number of libertarian pages, including CopBlock, a site opposing police misconduct. Twitter has also banned a number of conservative and libertarians, as well as other critics of American foreign policy. Some libertarians say we should not get upset, as these are private companies exercising private property rights. However, these companies are working with government and government-funded entities, such as the Atlantic Council, a group funded by NATO, and the military-industrial complex, to determine who should and should not be banned. The effort to silence hate speech is not just about outlawing racist, sexist, or anti-Semitic speech. The real goal is to discredit and even criminalize criticism of the welfare warfare state by redefining those criticisms as hate. It is not just progressives that wish to use laws outlawing hate speech to silence political opponents. Some neoconservatives want to criminalize criticism of Israel for the nonsensical reason that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic. Other right-wing authoritarians wish to expand hate crime laws to include crimes committed against police officers. Ironically, neoconservatives and other right-wing authoritarians are among the biggest purveyors of real hate speech. What could possibly be more hateful than speech advocating perpetual war? Cultural Marxists are also guilty of hate speech with their calls for both government and private violence against political opponents and for the use of government force to redistribute property. Just about the only individuals advocating a political philosophy not based on hate are those libertarians who consistently advance the non-aggression principle. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat.
Okay, I couldn't hardly hear that because I'm driving and this truck isn't exactly soundproof. It's an old 1993 Dodge Dakota. Runs great, but it's old and it's got some issues. So I'm going to play it one more time so I can listen to it and make my commentary. I thought originally it sounded like gun control, but it's more than just gun control. It sounds like it's speech control as well as people control if you don't agree with their agenda, basically. That's what it sounded like to me. But we'll give it one more go, and I'll let you know my opinion from Kano. Okay, bye. Oh, wait, not bye, but hang on.
The update for Monday, November 5th. Sadly, but not unexpectedly, the mass shooting at the Temple Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh is being used to justify new infringements on liberty. Of course, opponents of gun rights are claiming this shooting proves America needs more gun control. Even some who normally oppose gun control say the government needs to do more to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Those making this argument ignore the lack of evidence that background checks, new restrictions on the rights of those alleged to have a mental illness, or any other form of gun control would have prevented the shooter from obtaining a firearm. Others are using the shooter's history of posting anti-Semitic comments on social media to call for increased efforts by both government and social media websites to suppress hate speech. The shooter posted anti-Semitic statements on the social media site called Gab. Gab, unlike Twitter and Facebook, does not block or ban users for offensive comments. After the shooting, Gab was suspended by its internet service provider, and PayPal has closed the site's account. This is an effort to make the social media websites responsible for the content and even the actions of their users, turning the site's operators into thought police. Some social media sites, particularly Facebook and Twitter, are eager to silence not just bigots, but those using their platforms to advocate for liberty. Facebook has recently banned a number of libertarian pages, including CopBlock, a site opposing police misconduct. Twitter has also banned a number of conservative and libertarians, as well as other critics of American foreign policy. Some libertarians say we should not get upset, as these are private companies exercising private property rights. However, these companies are working with government and government-funded entities, such as the Atlantic Council, a group funded by NATO, and the military-industrial complex, to determine who should and should not be banned. The effort to silence hate speech is not just about outlawing racist, sexist, or anti-Semitic speech. The real goal is to discredit and even criminalize criticism of the welfare warfare state by redefining those criticisms as hate. It is not just progressives that wish to use laws outlawing hate speech to silence political opponents. Some neoconservatives want to criminalize criticism of Israel for the nonsensical reason that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic. Other right-wing authoritarians wish to expand hate crime laws to include crimes committed against police officers. Ironically, neoconservatives and other right-wing authoritarians are among the biggest purveyors of real hate speech. What could possibly be more hateful than speech advocating perpetual war? Cultural Marxists are also guilty of hate speech with their calls for both government and private violence against political opponents and for the use of government force to redistribute property. Just about the only individuals advocating a political philosophy not based on hate are those libertarians who consistently advance the non-aggression principle. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. So, yeah, I was mostly correct. It is about gun control, speech control, people control. So, PayPal, wow, I'm disappointed with PayPal. I'm going to have to find another merchant to do business with. If PayPal's going to be like that, then I don't want to do business with PayPal no more. PayPal's basically been my main merchant account for the last, I don't know, more than a decade, but primarily over the last decade. And now I find out they're anti-liberty and trying to control people who are pro-liberty by terminating or suspending or, their account, their PayPal account. Fuck that. I ain't supporting PayPal if they're going to be doing that shit. First off, I'd like to say, or secondly, I would like to say, the shooting, I never heard about it, but I don't really pay attention to mainstream media because mainstream media is usually lies. How do we even know that this shooting was real, for that matter? Half, if not most, all of the shootings were staged or phony, fake. And if they're not fake, of course, they're going to never let a good crisis go to waste. So they're going to use the crisis to advocate more government, which is probably what promoted the problem in the first place. For example, I probably should have kept my mouth shut, but I was with a friend, took her to the Social Security office to get, you know, some stuff situated and taken care of. And, of course, the officer who was there checking her in had to go through her purse and search her purse to make sure she didn't have any weapons of mass destruction or any kind of weapons for that matter. And I remembered that the last time I went in there with her, I had a pocket knife and they sent me out to get rid of it. So as I was going in the door, I remembered, oh, I got my pocket knife on me. So I went back to my truck to put my pocket knife in the truck. And going back in, I saw him going through her purse, which personally I think it's a violation. But anyway, so I opened my big mouth and said, well, I said, if the government didn't make people want to blow them up, you wouldn't have a job.
He goes, I'd have a job. I just wouldn't be working here. I said, true. And then and he kind of had a good attitude when I said that, you know. So I should have left it there. But then I continued on, because I don't know when to shut up, to say, yeah, you'd have a real job instead of protecting the criminals. But it's the truth. You know, he didn't like that. But maybe, just maybe, what I said made him think about what he's doing. And who knows? Maybe he'll go get a real job. But nonetheless, I had a point there, and I forgot what it was. Okay, yeah, basically they create problems so that they can advocate solutions for the problem. If the government didn't make people want to blow them up, we wouldn't need armed guards at every government building. We're supposed, you know, the government is supposed to be our public servants. We're supposed to like them. They're supposed to be there serving and protecting us, but they don't. They do the opposite. So now they feel like they have to protect themselves from us because they're not doing their job. That's like, okay, I'm going to hire an employee to work on my farm. And then the employee doesn't do his job and, in fact, starts acting like he's my boss. And starts acting like he's entitled to me, for me to start taking care of him and supporting him while he sits around and doesn't do shit. And I got to do all the work and I got to support him. And then if I don't, then he starts packing a weapon to protect himself from me because he thinks I'm going to cause harm to him by kicking him off my land. Well, he doesn't belong there in the first place if he's not going to do the job I hired him to do. So, you see where I'm going with that? You know, it's like we hired them to do a job. They're not doing their job. They turn around and act like they're our boss when we're their boss. And then, now they're afraid we're going to kick them out of office. We're going to go clean house and get rid of them and put people in there that are actually going to do what we pay them to do. So now they feel like they have to protect themselves from us and take away our protection so that they can control and dominate us because they're squatting, you know. They're doing illegal and unlawful acts, and they expect us to accept it. And if we don't, they make up all this cockable crap. Like, oh, school shootings that don't really happen, or theater shootings, or whatever shootings that don't really happen. Some of them might. I'll give them that. But most of them don't. We've already determined that most of the shootings were fake. But people are still like, oh, la, 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 we got a problem. We got a growing problem. Yeah, it's called the government. You know? And, of course, how can people hear the truth if the government's creeping into all the media like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and censoring everybody? You know, it's like you can't have free speech. You can't have the truth when you have fake media giving us all this propaganda that tells us that the government's perfect and wonderful when we know they're not. How are we going to get the truth out if the government is not going to allow us to get the truth out? They're supposed to be working for us. We're not supposed to be working for them. Why are we having this ongoing problem with our employees? They are our employees, and we're letting them tell us what to do. I guarantee you if I went to my new boss or even my old boss and told him that he had to listen to me and I don't have to listen to him, I'd be fired. Same with you. So why are we letting our employees boss us around? Why are we letting our employees take away our security and our protection? Why are we letting our employees take away our communication and control the way we think, control the way we raise our children, control the way we live? They're our employees. They were supposed to report to us, not the other way around. I don't know why people don't get that. Yeah, I don't know why people don't get that. I mean, I don't know. It's idiot. It's just ignorant. Now, I got friends who are just brainwashed, friends of family who are brainwashed, and they just believe everything the government says and does everything the government says, hook, line, and sinker. And I got other friends who are on the other side of the fence who just totally are 100% against the grain. Me, I'm somewhere in the middle. I only do what I'm forced to do. But, you know, like I said, there are employees. Why they're supposed to report to me. Why am I letting them tell me what to do? And like I said, I don't. Unless they have a gun to my head. You know, it's like I have a driver's license because I don't have a choice not to. If I don't get a driver's license, I get caught traveling without a driver's license. They'll give me a ticket and throw me in jail, take away my traveling privileges as well as my driving privileges, take away my car. You know, they'll do all kinds of harm to me. And then if I don't comply, they'll handcuff me, throw me in jail, beat me up. You know, they'll do harm to me. So I only comply to the things that I know I have no choice but to do, because if I don't do them, they will harm me. Our employees will cause harm to us if we don't do these things. But the rest of the stuff, I don't do it. If I'm not forced to do it, I'm not going to do it. But again, why are we letting our employees force us to do things that we shouldn't have to do? Why are we letting our employees run the show? Why are we letting our employees boss us around? Why are we letting our employees threaten our lives and our families and our livelihood? That doesn't make any sense. Let's see, what else was he talking about? War? Hate speech? Yeah, I mean, what is war? It's murder. Provided you're the attacker, which 9 times out of 10 we are, not us per se, but our employees who think they're our bosses. You know, we let them brainwash us and our children into thinking that, oh, we're G.I. Joe, we're going to go defend our country. No, we're not going to go defend our country. We're going to go fight a war for the big oil, the big pharma, big brother, big whatever industries who are just using us as pawns on a chessboard. You know, we're just, what do they call it? Not cannon fire, cotter, something like that. Cannon. Well, basically, we're just pawns. You know, we're, I think it's cotter, something like that. Cannon, fire. I forgot the terminology. Something like that. But anyhow, yeah, it's just a big game to them. Like, you know, you and I would probably play, you know, like on our phones, they have these games where you could have these, you know, troops go out and fight other troops and blah, blah, blah. To us, it's just a game. You don't really die. Well, for them, they're using us like these pieces in the game to go out and fight other people's pieces in their game, and it's just a big game to them. Some of it's real. You know, we're really going over there to plunder, you know, rape, plunder, and pillage, and steal people's oil and other resources. But sometimes, you know, these guys are just buddy-buddy, and they're like, well, we got to get rid of X amount of people, and we're just going to, you know, go over here and do this. And maybe, you know, like, say, England and the U.S., they're in bed together, and they don't like, I don't know, Middle East people. They want their oil, or the future place might be South America. What is it? Not Costa Rica, but I forgot the name of the country now. Did a podcast on it a couple weeks ago. Venezuela. You know, Venezuela is sitting on a large body of oil. And it's like, well, right now we got them under our control, sort of. But next thing you know, we'll be down there fighting a war, steal their oil, because they're not complying to our demands. Well, you know, so England and the U.S. might say, okay, let's take our chess pieces down to Venezuela and get rid of some population control, or, you know, take care of our population control problem, as well as get these people in order, blah, 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 and get what we want. What do people with money and power want? More money and power. You know, resources, resources, resources. And control. You know, they want to keep us under control. That's why they want to control the media. They pretty much already control the radio. They pretty much already control the TV programs. The only thing they can't control right now is the internet and our phone conversations. But they're working on that too. Like you just said, you know, we've been witnessing. They've been controlling YouTube for, I don't know, at least a year now. But Google owns YouTube, so that's part of the problem. Google's part of the New World Order project. Basically, I've had a YouTube account for over a decade. Once Google bought YouTube about 5-6 years ago, I started having nothing but problems with them. Censorship, censorship, censorship. And in the last year or so, it's been really bad. So bad, they terminated my account because I talk about this stuff, and they don't like people talking about this stuff. Now, of course, they're not going to get rid of the big dogs just yet, but they're going to keep us little guys from getting too big, so that when the big guys retire, well, then there's no more news, no more truth. You know, I don't know how much Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Alex Jones and the rest of them are sold out. I'm sure that some of them are sold out more than others. But they're still giving some truth. I think Alex Jones is probably more truthful than some of the other ones. But, you know, if they hadn't sold out, chances are they'd have been assassinated already. But who knows? Maybe they're letting them have their day, you know, their debut, while they're keeping the rest of us voices who are smaller and not so famous quiet, you know, keep us suppressed so that we don't get big and famous like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh, and, you know, get the ones that they want out there loud and proud and keep the rest of us squished. Then I have control. They're out of control of the internet and whatever else comes out in order to keep us quiet. Now, you know, people like Well, I got my old tree boss. He's like, well, how can they keep the truth quiet? You know, it's like somebody would have to say something. Well, people are trying to say something, like me and Ron Paul, although people think Ron Paul sold out too. But I don't know. Nonetheless, you know, it's like, you know, my old tree boss thinks that the media is telling the truth. He's like, and he's like, well, if there's no such thing as a conspiracy, they couldn't keep it quiet. Well, yeah, they can't keep it quiet, but they can keep it quiet enough. Quiet enough to where when people like me speak up, then he thinks, well, we're just conspiracy nuts, conspiracy theorists. And so when he says, if there was really a problem, somebody would say something about it. Well, I'm saying something about it, and he's discrediting me. Therefore, he discredits the truth, and he thinks that, well, nobody's saying anything about it because I'm nobody. I'm a nobody. He thinks that if it's not on Fox, if it's not on CBC, if it's not on CNN, it ain't real news. Well, that's who they control. That's who they're in bed with. And now they're in bed with YouTube, which is Google. They're in bed with Facebook. And obviously now they're in bed with Twitter and PayPal, which Twitter, I halfway expected that. This is the first I heard of Twitter being like that. I've heard of Facebook doing it and Pinterest. Pinterest, something like that, which I never really paid them much attention anyways. But yeah, so we need to start supporting those groups that don't censor us, that don't hinder our liberty, that aren't trying to sequester us, I think that's the right word, aren't trying to suffocate us, aren't trying to dominate and dictate us. Support the liberty groups, change to the social medias and the YouTube-type websites that promote freedom and liberty, and tell the rest of these communists to fuck off and start buying guns, which is what I need to do. I've done everything else pretty much. I just don't have any guns. Well, I kind of have one gun, but it doesn't really count. It's just a pellet gun. It's a high-powered pellet gun, but it really won't do that much damage. It'll kill a coyote, and it'll hurt somebody real bad, but I don't think it would kill somebody unless you shoot them in the face or shoot them in the heart. You got to be a really good shot. So I need to get out there and get a gun. I'm an okay shot. I've been practicing with other people's guns. But I ain't got my own. I got friends who got guns. I got a lot of friends who got a lot of guns. But I don't have none. So it's time for me to buck up and go buy a gun. You want to find a good gun that doesn't require powder? Go to airgundepot.com. That's where I plan on buying my air guns. I think air guns are the way to go. But I think you should have at least one of each, an air gun and a powder gun. You need a pistol, you need a rifle, and you need a shotgun. I don't know if they make air shotguns, so that one you might have to just get a regular shotgun. But there's some really cool new shotguns out there. They call them firearms. They don't look like shotguns, but they are. And there's some shotguns that take magazines. Those are the ones you want. They've got a pistol grip reloading system. They take a magazine, and you hold them like you would hold a machine gun. You know, two-handed. and they're pretty freaking awesome. Those are the kind of shotguns you want. You want artillery-type weapons. People say that we don't need military-style weapons, but we're supposed to be the military. We're supposed to be the standing army, we the people. Anything the government has, we should pretty much have the same thing, or at least access to it. So, granted, some people aren't reliable, some people aren't trustworthy, some people shouldn't have guns. But I guarantee you there's less people among we the people that should have guns than people in the government who are now out of control and cannot be trusted. I'm not against government. I'm against a tyrannical, terroristic, tyrannical government. And what do we have? We have a terroristic, tyrannical government. So, as far as prepping goes, because that just came to mind, you should always be prepping. Not for the end of the world or anything like that. But, like David Ray says, for example, you know, there's, if you look, you know, there, I don't know the guy, but he did a study on all the different types of catastrophes. Basically, they all have certain things in common. Basically, you need to be able to set yourself up to survive for 6 months to a year. The main catastrophe that people have is out of work. They lose their job or they lose a spouse who is their primary provider. Like this friend of ours, her husband was the provider and he just passed away a year ago. Actually, no, this spring. And now she's kind of distraught because he didn't really, they were broke. They didn't really have a whole lot. So, some people knocked him because he didn't set her up, you know, for security. But they were broke. You know, she didn't work. She didn't bring home any kind of income at all. She basically relied on him to be the provider. And you know how hard it is for one person, let alone two people, let alone one person, to provide for a household. So he was the only provider in their household, and he passed away. They didn't have a lot of money, and he was trying to set her up for survival. You know, they moved here to the country from Massachusetts, and, you know, if they would have stayed in, and I quizzed her, if they would have stayed in Massachusetts, they would have been worse off. If he passed away in Massachusetts, she would have been worse off than she would have where she is now. So he actually did set her up for survival, just not as good as he would have liked. Nonetheless, so she's got land, she's got a house, she's got the basic necessities. Now she just has to figure out how to keep going. Essentially, she's probably going to have to get a job, but she doesn't want to admit it. In fact, she's actually looking for a new provider to be her provider so she doesn't have to go out and provide for herself, which to me is kind of a cop-out, but that's all she knows. She's been a housewife for 30 years. She doesn't know how to be a provider. She doesn't know how to drive. She doesn't know how to do anything except be a housewife. And that's kind of messed up in this day and age. But we should all be prepared for things like that. We should all be prepared for losing our jobs. It's like, I just lost my job. You know, my employer basically wanted me to be unethical. He wanted me to cut throat and stab people in the back, and I refused to screw people over, so I got screwed over instead. I got fired. Fortunate for me, I had $10,000 in the bank. So I didn't have to, like, go back to work right away. I can stay here and help my mom and kind of get my mom set up because my mom don't have anybody really to look after her. So I got to, because my brother won't. So, my brother don't give a damn. He's like, he's basically all about himself. He wants my mom to help him, but he don't want to help my mom. So here I am, helping my mom. But, you know, she's been there for me for 18 years or whatever. Actually, a little less than that. But, you know, she was looking for love in all the wrong places, and she was kind of an idiot. But now she's getting her head together. Nonetheless, so here I am. I had money in the bank. I can afford to take care of my mom and take 2 weeks off before I go back to work. I could take more than that, but I don't want to spend all my money. So my bills, if I just had to, you know, pay my bills and live, you know, only take care of me, that $10,000 might last me 10 weeks or more. No, more than that, 20 weeks. So half a year, that's about 6 months, you know, because I don't live high on the hog. I live on about 50% of my income, then I got child support, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I'm basically spending half of my savings on my mom to kind of help, you know, her get situated and squared away. She's going to pay me some of that back. But yeah, you know, if I didn't have this money, this emergency fund, I wouldn't be able to help my mom. I wouldn't be able to help myself, let alone help my mom. So we always need to prep. We always need to prepare for the worst. And then if the worst don't happen, well, we're still set, you know, for whatever happens, you know. But like I said, the most common things that are going to happen is you're going to lose your job or your mother is going to lose her house, you know, whatever. You're going to lose your spouse who's the primary or the only provider. So we should all be preppers. We should all be prepping for some sort of disaster, whether it's a tornado, hurricane, apocalypse, job loss, spouse loss, whatever. The house burns down. You know, there's all kinds of things. The car breaks down. Car catches on fire. That happens every once in a while. You know, there's all kinds of things. I mean, I came home. I have two trucks. One truck automatically needed a new battery. Okay. So, luckily, I got money. Then this truck. Well, now this truck, it needs a new battery also. Of course, it goes figure because I bought the other both truck batteries at the same time. So, it's no surprise that they both go out about the same time. This one's still hanging in there. So, I haven't bought a battery for it yet, but I know it's about dead. It's going to die soon. So, it's on its last leg. But I got money, so I'm ready for that. You know, the blower's going out. It's winter, or it's approaching winter. I'm going to need defrost. Luckily, I have a backup truck. I got two trucks. So, but I got to replace and fix this blower. So, you know, you always got to prepare for things that are going to happen. So, that's why I live on 50% of my income. I make about $50,000 a year to be safe. I should be making more like $75,000. But with my child support and everything, it's even less. So I've set myself up to live on basically 50% of my income. I put the other 50% in a mutual fund where it draws interest, and then I only got to pay tax on the interest. Well, I pay tax on the income, any kind of income, because, you know, tax is outrageous. We're paying way too much tax. But the mutual fund is the best place that I've found to put my money. You make about 1% interest each month. I'm making, I think, 11% interest on average annually. I mean, you can't really beat it. I mean, you can beat it, but this day and age, yeah, with the way the government's set up and all this other bull crap, I just, like I said, I put 50% of my money in my mutual fund. That's my emergency fund. And if I need it throughout the year, it's there. But that's also my retirement fund, so I'm trying not to spend it. At the end of the year, if I got anything left over, I'm going to put it in my IRA. And start fresh January 1st. If I got, you know, more than what would go into my IRA, then I got money left over in my emergency fund / other retirement account. But I got a couple retirement plans going on. I save gold, silver, copper, any kind of collector coins. I've got land. I'm prepping. I'm working on setting up my land to where I can live off of the land when I retire. So I don't got to go out and buy groceries. I don't got to go out and pay somebody else for utilities. I'll have my own utilities. You know, I'll be able to live off the land. The only thing I might need is propane in the winter. Let's see, cell phone. But they got mesh networking. You really don't need cell phone to pay somebody else for a cell phone. You can go out and do mesh networking. People who got money can put up mesh networking towers and have a mesh networking tower and help provide free phone services for the community. And you don't need smartphones because you can use free Wi-Fi for your smartphones to your smartphone stuff or whatever. And I don't know how mesh networking works with internet stuff, but I know you get free phone services with mesh networking. All you got to do is buy the phone. And if enough of us have phones and enough of us have towers, then we got free phones and potentially free internet once the technology takes off, if it hasn't already. I haven't looked into mesh networking in like 5 years, so I don't know where it's at right now. But I know it's a thing. And I know in Oregon somewhere they're successfully doing it. So look up mesh networking. Probably look up mesh networking in Oregon, and that'll probably give you a better idea of what I'm talking about. Free phones and maybe even free internet. That'll save you $100 a month, if not more. So $50 to $100 a month. For me, it's $100. For my friend, it's $50 because he's got a different kind of plan than I do. But yeah. Yeah, that's $1,000 a year you could be saving doing mesh networking. And I don't know how much it costs to put up a tower, but it can't be more than a couple $1,000. So you save a couple $1,000 on having a free phone, put that money in the bank, plus interest, boom. 2, 3, 4 years later, you put up a tower. Now you're a provider. You know? Yeah, you're giving away service for free, but you're not just helping other people. You're helping yourself, you know? Because everybody who puts up a tower just basically creates more quality service. So, and if you put up the tower on your land, well, then, bam, you got excellent service because you're right there next to the tower. So, and I think, don't quote me on this, mesh networking is radiation-free. So, you might double-check that, too. So, you'll be saving on your medical bills as well. So, we're getting away from Ron Paul a little bit, but, yeah. Call Ron Paul's weekly update at 888-322-1414. Again, that's 888-322-1414. Updates are posted every Monday morning. And you can also find Ron Paul updates at scrap.gov, scrap.and/or dungeonsanddragons.com. Scrap.gov, scrap, we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical government. And on Demented Dungeons and Dragons, we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. In fact, we rarely, never, ever, ever talk about Dungeons and Dragons. I think three or four of our podcasts were about Dungeons and Dragons. The rest of them are not. Like I said before on our previous podcast, the only thing good about Dungeons and Dragons, in my opinion, is if you want to write a book, if you want to write a story, whether it's a fictional or non-fictional, you might play Dungeons and Dragons because they help you learn how to write a good story. That's really all Dungeons and Dragons is about. It's about storytelling and story writing. If you're good at Dungeons and Dragons, you're a good storyteller. If you're a good storyteller, you'll be good at Dungeons and Dragons. So there you go. That's about all it is. It's a story game. So to me, it's a boring game. But it could be exciting if you enjoyed telling stories. So, yeah, I don't know. I never really played it, so I don't know how boring or exciting it is, but some people get into it. We do talk about gaming on Dungeons and, or Demented Dungeons and Dragons, but we don't talk about Dungeons and Dragons hardly ever. So, check that out. Depending on what your ideas are, which topics you like, what, you know, subjects you want to talk about and whatnot. Wonder what's going on up there. Huh. Anyways. If you want to talk about something, call David Ray at 417-876-7288. Again, that's 417-876-7288. And again, the phone number is on the website. And schedule a podcast. I'm personally kind of getting away from the podcast a little bit unless we get callers. We do have like 75 international phone numbers. So people can call in from all kinds of countries. And the New World Order, or I should say the World Order, isn't just in America. It's all over the place. United States, Canada, Mexico, the future North American Union that they're working on, Europe and the European Union, Africa and the African Union that they're working on, Asia and the Asian Union they're working on. It's everywhere. So call in, no matter what country you're in. Call us. You know, talk about these problems. We would like to know. We would like to discuss them with you. If it's government related, when we'll schedule it for the Scrap.gov Scrap podcast. If it's non-government related, we'll schedule it for the Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast, which I almost had another name for. I thought about renaming it or doing another spinoff and call it something else. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was something else. A friend told me I would be a good relationship advisor. And I thought about making a podcast or a call-in thing where people can call in and get my opinion on that. But I don't really see that working out. Why would people call in for that when they don't even call in for our other stuff? Relationship advice person. I can't even make my own relationships work. Well, I think my biggest problem is I just picked the wrong people. So, and I'm not aggressive enough. So it's like I get on these date lines and I create a profile, but I don't contact nobody. I wait for them to contact me. Well, the wrong ones contact me, and I end up hooking up with them. And instead of contacting the decent ones that I like that don't contact me. So I'm learning how to step up to the plate, if you will, and start initiating conversation with some of these women, because they're not going to initiate conversation with me. No matter how much I say in my profile to initiate conversation, they're not going to do it. So I got to. That's my biggest problem, I think. So, I don't know. I got to work on that. But I'm working on that. I actually contacted somebody last night, which I rarely ever do. So, I just got to keep that up. Anyways, this concludes the DD&D Scrap Go Scrap podcast with the Ron Paul update. Probably do another one. I think we should change our podcast to Mondays. And personally, I think I'm just going to do a Ron Paul update podcast from now on. But like I said, I'm going to keep the other two up and running or whatever. Like I said, the Ron Paul's more or less a scrap go scrap subject anyways. But so I'll just, you know, do my Ron Paul updates every Monday. And if you want us to schedule a podcast, then we'll schedule a podcast and we'll talk about stuff. So let us know or just call in Mondays. Monday. Manic Monday. Call in Manic Monday between 7 and midnight. 7 p.m. and midnight. We'll have our Scrap Go Scrap Ron Paul updates. And then potentially maybe we'll have a DD&D podcast afterwards. Maybe, maybe not. So, yeah. All right, I guess that's it. Talk to you later. Bye. I think I hung up. Nope. Here we go.